Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Rachel, exclusively on LA Talk Radio.
And good morning, buenos dias.
Buenos dias. Yes. Boker tov.
Boker tov.
Boker tov, Yaladim. That's what my Hebrew teacher used to say to me.
Yeah?
Boker tov, Yaladim.
Bonjour.
Yeah.
Bene whatever.
I don't know anything else.
Bom
dia is Portuguese for...
Bom dia, okay.
Good day.
In Italian, it's buona something. I know buona sera, but that's evening, so... I don't know morning in Italian, but what can you do? Good morning, everyone. Hi, Rachel.
Hi.
Big headline in the news. Trump arrives in Texas. Why is it like such a huge fucking headline?
Because another disaster is headed to Texas. That's why. Just when we think that the people of Texas haven't suffered enough, here comes Storm Trump.
Right? Wow.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I can't with them. I saw the picture of him and Melania this morning with her in her stilettos, and it looked like she was dropping him off at his first day of school.
Yeah, that was funny, right? I mean, my God, that was like, yeah.
Did you hear about Joel Osteen refusing at first to open his megachurch?
Yes, I did.
What a jackass.
What an ass, right?
He literally exploits people for money. He's worth billions of dollars.
Right, right.
And the church is available. Well, now because of the pressure from social media, and who says that social media doesn't,
right?
You know, getting together and putting pressure and, you know, kind of like coming together for something.
Right.
I guess he's now opened up his church. People won't forget that.
Right, right. No, I mean, at this point, they had so much pressure, they didn't have a choice, you know, but... that sucks, man, because in light of what you see other people doing and helping each other so much.
Even Mexico has offered a lending hand. I mean, right. Other countries that we are pissing off are still helping us because that's what you do in a time of...
Because Americans are cool people.
Right.
Yeah, there you go. See, be proud. So, and I guess the storm is not over yet, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, they continue there.
I have friends in Austin and in Houston, and I texted both of them, and they haven't been able to leave, you know, their house for days. So,
yeah, but their houses are not flooded.
They're both fine, but yeah. I mean,
you see, if you don't live on the ground, you're okay. Like where I live, I wouldn't be affected, but I wouldn't be able to go downstairs.
Right.
You know, or something.
That's what I was... Well, I mean, just seeing like the Venice. Homes demolished and...
I know. They're showing you like freeways and highways.
Well, the worst part is
washed off completely.
Trump like eliminated some like Obama-era infrastructure restrictions 10 days before, meaning that like whatever aid that they get
would have gotten,
or it's just they can't build structures that are gonna be able to resist
the water,
this weather.
Oh, okay.
So he got rid of that, meaning that if they are to rebuild, they're just gonna be wasting money rebuilding these structures that aren't storm proof because Trump got rid of the regulation. Yeah. 10 days before.
Yeah.
So, and he said it was like...
Who knows what goes
like,
on in that head of his, you know? I don't know what's going on there.
Well, there's a bunch of... There's, I guess, like psychiatrists who are trying to get together and team up with like... It's both sides. It's not just Democrats, but like to try and talk to some members of Congress or at least people over there about... You know, is he mentally unfit?
Right,
for
right.
This?
But people have been suggesting this for a long time. It just said,
"Oh yeah,
you know, you need
I mean,
to come
did you
with
watch
evidence."
His, exactly, you know? like the election was enough evidence. I mean, just when he imitated a mentally handicapped person, that was a low moment for all of us, I think.
Yeah.
But yeah, we'll see.
He's had a lot of moments. I was thinking of that grabbing them by the pussy comment this
That's
morning.
Terrible.
I thought, how can anybody talk like this, you know? Especially
well,
you know.
Also,
I mean, look, men in a locker room, maybe.
But I don't even picture you saying that.
No, but, well, you know what guys say all kinds
of
things.
I know, but that's fine. But I would not want my president to have that attitude, to share those attitude. But also, I forgot what else. I had something else to say.
You don't want a president to be talking like this. Yeah. You know? I mean, I totally understand that, you know, but yeah, let's go on to more merry things. What do you think?
Yeah.
First of all, we should remember Princess Diana, I guess.
Yeah.
It was yesterday or today. Is it August 28th, I think? But this is dated the 29th. So I guess this was the day exactly 20 years ago. That was 1997.
Yeah. Oh, this is what I was going to bring up.
Yes.
In the midst of all this chaos that's happening in Texas, remember how Trump said that he had no involvement with Russia. He's never spoken to Russia. He's never had any business in Russia.
Right.
An old video surfaced about him specifically talking about
really
businesses of his or like plans for Russia. And it's just like,
wow.
Why does he think that he can say these things and that we won't find the receipts? You know? So, I mean, I think the Houston, what's the disaster that's going on in Houston? I think Trump is oddly enough like grateful for it because it's distracting Mueller's investigation, which is heating up. I don't know if you were reading anything about it.
Yeah.
But yeah, they're finding more out about Russia, and like Trump is probably just really happy the media isn't focused on that right now.
But apparently he was pissed that his rally in Arizona didn't have enough people.
Yeah, he fired his top aide, I guess.
He's pissed at his staff, I guess.
And he's still seeking campaign donations. I mean, it's just literally the least classy person on the planet. I just, how does it continue?
I don't know how, you know, I don't know, man. Anyway, so let's go back to Princess Diana, because I remember 1997, I was living in Johannesburg, South Africa.
Oh, yeah.
And this was, I believe, wasn't it a Sunday or a Saturday when she died?
I remember seeing it on, like as a child, watching it on TV. It was
right,
like
on TV, yeah. And I thought, wow, you know, I mean, the whole world was shocked.
Yeah.
She was only 36 years old, you know?
That's so young.
Yeah, I know. So she would have been 56 now?
Yeah. Oh,
it's about my age, man. Well, it's better we remember her beautiful like this.
Right.
But I'm sure she would have aged gracefully. You know, she's just unbelievably beautiful. But she also had that inner beauty, you know, and mm-hmm. I think that's why people still like her. She left a legacy of someone who cares. You'd see her with poor people.
Right.
Poor
we don't
kids.
Really have anything, you know, like that. Like the closest thing
royalty
I can think of is like, or just not even royalty, just like a constant figure of an example of like what it means to be a good person.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like the only thing I can think is like Angelina Jolie, but I mean, we don't even really see much of her.
Right.
Like, she does a lot for the United Nations, and she adopts kids from every country, and that's beautiful and everything. But Princess Diana,
we don't know
was,
her personality that much,
right,
I don't think, right?
Princess Diana was just like, despite her royalty, was just out with the common people, you know, no matter what. Like, I bet you if she was still alive today, she would be flying to Texas or, you know, at least,
right? Yeah.
Or at least like, you know,
she was a modern-day Mother Teresa,
yeah,
really.
She would be here with us. I mean, she would be everywhere. She would be a, you know, and it's sad. It's like people like her and John Lennon and people who have, like, an impact and such an influence in the right way seem to never, you know, live long enough.
Right. Yeah. Wow, she was so young when she got married, huh? I mean, she just looks young here in this picture I'm looking at. Mm-hmm. And she's here with Prince Charles. Wow. Yeah, she was so young, but at any rate, then, you know.
But I believe the conspiracy about it. I think she was killed.
You do?
Yeah, 100%. They didn't want her dating a Muslim.
The Arab, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hmm. Who knows? But they haven't proved it yet, so.
I don't think they ever will.
Sounds
more
like a conspiracy.
Just like one of the, like, we'll never find out who really killed Nicole Brown Simpson and Ron Goldman. Just like we'll never find out who killed Casey Anthony's baby, you know?
No, that's not true. There might be some evidence that'll come up later. You never know. Who knows? But yeah, they're saying, I was actually reading on this yesterday, and they're saying that, you know, everybody's tried to lay this on the paparazzi and all this shit, so.
Oh, I don't think it was, I don't think it was like the paparazzi. I think it was like an inside.
Yeah, but I think it would have come up by now if that was indeed the truth. I don't know. But anyway.
I don't think so.
No?
No, I think people, like, family secrets stay family secrets. Like, people can, you know.
Right. Yeah. So in a few minutes, we're going to be calling our guest today. He was supposed to be in the studio, and he got stuck on the freeway. I guess sometimes it does happen here in L.A. If a car, if there's an accident or something that they have to close down the freeway, they'll close down the fucking
freeway.
Well,
I honestly thought I was going to be late because on my street a couple months ago, a water main broke and caused a sinkhole. And so they're going to have to redo the whole Franklin, which is like Franklin's like a really big street to get to both freeway entrances. Right. So they're shutting each entrance. I mean, it's just. It's nuts. It's
yeah, just right? Nuts. So, yeah, so that's what happens. And he gets stuck in traffic, not for 5, 10, 15 minutes. We're talking over an hour. So we're going to be calling him, and we're going to talk about veterans, and he's going to be launching a show here in a couple of days. So that'll be cool. In fact, he's going to come on right after you, after your Bud show.
Oh, awesome.
So, yeah, by the way, for those of you who don't know, Rachel has a show called The Bud, B-U-D-D, with her bud, Olivia.
With my best bud.
Yes. And it's a show by buds about buds, mm-hmm. right?
By buds
and everything about that buds has to
do with grab your buds. Grab them by the buds.
So know? Tell us, what do you guys talk about? Do you talk about like issues as far as legal and stuff like
everything.
That?
Everything. I mean, everything and anything cannabis cannabis themed. We have different guests each week, different people in the industry from all different walks of life, influencers, brands, photographers, comedians. I mean, if you are of cannabis, you know, consumption and of the industry. Yeah, I mean, it's cool. It's we started it over a year ago, right before all these other weed podcasts seem to be popping up. Everyone seems to have a weed podcast now, but
everyone has a podcast, period. Shit,
I know, you know, but I came to her a year ago and I was like, hey, you have this platform. I want to bring you another medium in which to express yourself.
Right.
So we teamed up and we've had this podcast for about a year.
That sounds
season
cool.
Season 2 started here at LA Talk Radio. We were recording at the Hollywood Improv for about a year, and now we're at LA Talk Radio.
There you go. You see, this is where it's happening, folks. Yeah. And we're proud to have you guys. You had an interesting guest last time. I didn't get to listen to the whole show, but who was
he? His name is Mac Miesellini, the Lingo Genie. He's an influencer. He's an OG. He's been around.
What's an OG?
Just like someone who's been around in the industry for forever. So, yeah, he's just... like one of, you know, he's lived in California since forever. He's been smoking weed since forever. He's seen how the industry has changed over the past however many years, because I mean, he was smoking weed before back when you had to be afraid to smoke weed in LA,
right?
Which that seems crazy to me that there was ever a time like that. But there was.
I still am sometimes. That's what I'm saying. It stays with you, you know?
Yeah.
You have to get used to it.
But honestly, after, like, even just, like, going up north and going to, like, the Outside Lands Music Festival years ago in San Francisco, I mean, like, I'm literally blazing a joint right in front of the cops. But, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
and I'm not...
Yeah.
It's like they... It's not. They don't want to fill out that paperwork.
Right.
That's
right.
Not a cool brag back at the station. Like, I busted some... kids with pot, you right. know, that's just not, you're not going to get respect,
right?
And you're not going to have to fill
point
out
in it anyway,
and you're just
you know?
Going to have to fill out pointless paperwork, and you're not going to get anything from that, plus right. It's like harmless, so
that's why they probably tell them, you know, don't waste your time on this unless people are driving and being
well
dangerous.
Also, I think a lot of cops recognize that. I think they're smart and they recognize that, you know, there is that opening dialogue between law enforcement and the cannabis industry that's been happening for a while, that this is a medicine,
Right, this right. It's amazing to me. Sometimes I'll see like a police car right in front of a dispensary and take a picture because it's so like unbelievable, almost surreal.
Oh, when I worked at a dispensary, we had cops come in and I was like, oh, this is it. This is it. I'm going to have to make that phone call to my mom. Like, but it turns out they were just looking for a girl who had been kidnapped in the area and they wanted to, because they had the cameras for the outside.
Oh,
so,
so they
don't care.
See,
that,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
They're a legal dispensary. They're following the rules. Like,
exactly.
Not,
so that's why, to me, it's surreal because I never dreamt it would be like this.
Also, I saw Florida will be getting like 30 new dispensaries or something out there, which is crazy. I saw an article yesterday, like dispensaries are coming to Florida. So
really?
Yeah.
Do they have medical marijuana
it's
there
medical
now?
It's medical there.
It
yeah.
is? Cool. You know, some states are like, they'll allow, but only CBD, right? So they don't want to let you get high. I mean, what the hell is that? Why is getting high so evil?
Because I think, I don't know if it's necessarily, I don't know what the problem is. I think that people are afraid of what they don't know. And because there is, I mean, it's the way it's been marketed for so long is like a drug. And it was literally on par with, it was classified as the same as heroin. So for
right.
people to like think that, you know, that's a form of propaganda right there. There's no.
Right. People thought it's the same thing.
But the funny thing is people start to see it when they get sick and they've never had to use it before. And they find out that the medicines that the doctors are prescribing to them are making them feel worse.
Yeah.
So out of desperation, sometimes people will be like, okay. And yeah. then they're like, why didn't I try this years ago? You
right.
know, so it's sad that it takes some people to get to that point.
Right. Yeah. And I mean, it wouldn't have been thinkable that anybody would say, oh, this is actually medicinal and
right.
it's good for you.
But also
for many years, I've had
we
so
might
much
find
guilt
out it
about
could be preventative.
It. Yeah.
Like they're saying that CBD kills cancer causing cells. I mean, that's incredible.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. I hope so. So in a few minutes, we're going to call our guest. But before that, I wanted to get into this story because this is something that everybody thinks about. So they just did a study on sex and its effect on women and how they experience it and so forth.
Okay.
So they're saying that intercourse isn't everything. For most women, try outer course. Now, what's outer course? They're saying that would be kissing, you know, touching, all kinds of things that are pleasurable, clitoral and vaginal stimulation. So, now, the amazing thing is this, is that I've always known, well, always, because, you know what, as a kid, I was always, like, reading all these sex books and stuff. I needed to know everything, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, so it's pretty acceptable, I think, that most women need clitoral stimulation in order to orgasm.
Okay.
So that's true. But did you know that only 18% of women are able to do it without, just from intercourse, without direct stimulation of the clitoris, however people like to call it. But so... Just 18%, did they say? Yes, 18%. So 36%, they said they needed clitoral stimulation in order to orgasm during intercourse. So, it's like double. And I'm wondering if this is something that nature fucked up, you know? Whereas, you know, you would think, yeah, intercourse, you do it, orgasm, blah, blah, blah. Like a man, it's pretty straightforward,
right?
But for a woman, it's more complicated. And but they're saying the best way... Oh, and they're saying there's also different qualities of orgasm.
Mm-hmm.
So they're saying it's better when there's a lot of foreplay and stimulation beforehand, you know. So, but they're saying that, you know, women that are uninformed and stuff, they don't know how to reach an orgasm, and then they fake it, you know, and... And that sucks, man. But a lot of people are doing this, and they're saying it's a pretty sad and common problem to see women faking it, you know? Yeah. And they think they have a lot of shame. Oh, so they're saying many women feel shame and guilt because they're unable to climax from intercourse alone. So then they're relieved to find out that more women are like that too, you know. So there's nothing wrong if you can't, you know, if you can't orgasm with, just by intercourse alone, because I think more women don't than do. So,
interesting.
Yeah, very interesting stuff. So there you go. Rachel doesn't have much to say about this.
I just, like, I've never been one to, like, openly talk about...
About sex?
Yeah, it just...
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, well, we're discovering about it, on, it now.
I don't talk about it on stage, and I don't talk about it, like, really in my personal life, because I just...
You don't in your personal life, or don't on the radio?
At all, because I just think certain things are meant to be sacred, and I'm not an expert.
So. No, but what I'm saying is oh, okay. So you view it that way. That's pretty cool. Yeah. I respect that.
Well, like, also, I think a lot of female comics do talk about it.
Right.
And I think that if it, like, I think for some it's fine, but, like, I don't want to hear about other people's sex life.
Okay,
so
okay.
I
thought you're more about, you don't want to talk about your sex life, which is understandable.
No, I, or at all. General, yeah, I don't, yeah. And, like, I've just never been, like,
did you
sexually that open in public? Like, I have friends who will, like, walk in and just be like, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, wow.
Was your home pretty strict when it came
to
that?
Of course. My parents, like, we, like, I mean, I barely saw them be affectionate. So it was never, like, something that.
And then you went to that religious school, right?
I went to so many religious schools.
Right, yeah. So I mean, like, that would oppress the shit out of you.
But it's weird because I grew up in Vegas. So, like, sex and nudity was, like, literally thrown in our faces, and I think that's why, like, the overprotectiveness.
That's true.
But I don't think it's, like, I don't think it's unnatural or wrong to talk about, but I just, like, personally would never talk about
gotcha. Okay, well, we'll try to refrain from those topics.
No.
The radio.
But go ahead, like,
when you're in the room.
Like,
I don't want to talk to myself, though. So.
But I just, I don't
and
know.
If it
I just,
makes you feel uncomfortable,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, I don't know.
It doesn't make sense.
I've never
to know. Well, we've got a revelation today about Rachel.
I've just never talked about it. I don't.
You see, I've always been very open about it.
Well, I think it's easier also for men.
Because
either way, there's a double standard. Because, like, take what example, like, if you talked about your sex life, whatever it was, like, you know, and you take a woman who said the same exact stuff,
right,
a woman would get judged for it.
Right.
And some men would never get judged for that.
I don't know, though, because, look, if we talked about it on the radio and stuff, I mean, I'm sure we'd get judged, you know, talking about this stuff, you know.
Oh, I mean, but I think there in general, like, there's, like, a double standard for men versus women when it comes
to talk about sex.
Yeah.
Yes, that's true. That's
like,
true.
I think it's almost, like, expected for men to talk about it.
Right, because men
but
are
that
like,
but I don't also, I also think that there is a place for women to talk about it. And I think there's a place for it to be talked about. I'm not the person to talk about it.
Okay. Now we know.
That's all.
Okay. What about if we bring in sex experts? How would you feel? Do you want to stay home that day?
No, I mean, I would have a lot of questions, but I just probably would never be like, well, in my experience,
right,
you know,
because
I think there's something about leaving it up to be left to be desired.
Right,
you know
right.
I mean?
Yeah, I mean, you don't want to talk about it. What do you get out of it anyway if you tell people about
it? I've never, like, been, like, a recreational sex haver. Like, I've always, you know
what
I mean?
Been in relationships.
Yeah, so, like, I would just never want to, like, put that business out there.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, we respect that, Rachel.
Yeah.
All right, well, so now that we didn't talk about sex, we're going to talk to our guest. And so I'm going to call him because he was in the car, couldn't take the number down. And this is an incredible man that I met a couple weeks ago. And he's going to do a show with us starting in 2 days right here on LA
that's
Talk
awesome.
Radio. And his name is Walter, and
maybe he has some input on your research.
Oh, I don't think he'll be comfortable with that. But let's try, okay? So we're gonna call Walter right now And I'm just going to get a double confirmation on his last name, because he told me how to pronounce it. It's not quite pronounceable the way that you read it, but nevertheless. So we're calling him right now. He's probably in the car, but I'm sure I got the number right, right? Let's see. No, I'm down on the wrong number, folks. I put in the wrong number.
Wouldn't it be funny if someone picked up?
Answered, right? And I'd go, Walter, and they'd go, what? You know, who is this? So good thing they didn't answer. Let me see. That's what happens when you do things as you talk. But let's go. Yeah, I was also surprised he wasn't answering. Like, what's
1-8-5. No, what?
Why is it dialing a different number here? Okay, you know what? Let me try this one more time. This is funny, you know? I mean, because I tell people, you know, I have the number ready, but this is screwing up my number. I mean, I know I'm dialing the right number. So there we go. And this is going to work this time. Yes, it is. All right. There we go. Good thing we know what we're doing, right,
mm-hmm.
Rachel? You got to be able to spot the fact that you dial the wrong number sometimes. But now I know I have the right number. And Walter?
Yes, Sam.
Yes, good morning. How are you? I'm here with Rachel.
Good. Thank you for calling me.
Of course.
Sorry that I was delayed in traffic here.
No worries, man. I know when it's not in your hands, it's pretty frustrating, especially when you go to a radio station. How far did you have to drive to get here this morning?
Well, I'm up in the Antelope Valley, and it usually takes about an hour and a half, and this morning it was closer to 3 hours.
Oh, my God.
Unfortunately, somebody was, I think, killed in an accident where the 5, the 14, the 210 interchange.
Right.
And I continued on my way down here. I'm actually by the 76 station here right now.
Oh, wow. So they closed the freeway for a while? You couldn't move or anything?
Yes. The traffic wasn't moving at all. It had come to a complete stop.
Wow.
And I was by Agua Dulce. I must have been there probably for like 45 minutes or something like that.
Oh, wow. That's soul crushing.
The radio was saying that people were actually turning around and going home.
Yeah, right? Yeah. So, well, I'm glad you called me, and we arranged this in time so you don't have to come all the way here. So let's get to the business at hand, Walter. Welcome to the show. I also want to welcome you to the radio station. You're going to start your new show here in 2 days called Walt's Focus on Veterans. So
that's
pretty
correct, sir.
Pretty self-explanatory. Walter, how do you pronounce your last name again?
Nard.
Nard it is.
Yes.
And I knew I had it right, but I just wanted to double check. It's spelled N-A-R-E-D, but it's pronounced Nard. So Walter Nard it is.
Thank you.
Yes, no problem.
Good morning, Rachel.
Good morning.
So, come down from the traffic a little bit, you know, just like we'll have a nice discussion and everything, so you'll be able to, so how far are you from going back home now? I'm just curious.
Well, the traffic hopefully will be loosening up here later on today.
Yeah.
where I can get back in a reasonable time, but like I said, usually an hour and a half. Closer to about 3 hours here this morning the way it was.
Wow.
And, it just couldn't be avoided. And unfortunately, somebody had passed away in this accident from what the radio report was.
Yeah. All right. So, Walter, you decided you want to do a show for veterans.
Yes.
Specifically, you want to talk about wounded veterans as well?
Yes. It's going to be a number of veterans topics.
Okay.
The wounded veterans, veterans who are seeking jobs, paralyzed veterans, PTSD. We're going to cover a number of different items, and we're hoping to have some experts in from the LAVA hospital and from various other agencies to help us talk about that. And we're also going to be talking to some local business owners that are former veterans or veterans to show that there is a life after the military, and they can explain their stories and let people know what they were doing to try and pull themselves through and become successful here in the Southern California area. I'm hoping to have a young Marine that was wounded on Thursday morning. He's going to be joining me as a in-studio guest. So that's what the plan is at this particular point. And we'll be expanding some more information on Thursday about what we're planning on doing with some of the upcoming shows.
Sounds good. So now, how did you become involved in veterans? How did you become interested in this? I mean, obviously, you feel very passionate about it if you're launching a show that focuses on this topic and all the other related topic that you mentioned. How did this become part of your life?
Well, about 10 years ago, I was laid up in a hospital with a serious operation. And I was in there for a while, and the only thing I could do is watch the news. And I was watching and seeing the situation with some of the young veterans, both men and women, that were coming back injured and so on and so forth. Plus, I've met several veterans over the years, and I just think that we haven't done enough to try and support them and have their back since they've been protecting us. You know, doing some really rough work. I think we need to do more here, citizens, to help them out in the future so that they can continue to enjoy and live their lives and earn a living and become comfortable and get the right medical care. And it's just something I had been thinking about probably like for the last 5 or 10 years. And I hadn't done anything about it, so I thought now's the time.
Yeah, that's a great idea, you know, and it's interesting that you've been into this. And have you been to the military at all?
No, I haven't. I never had the honor of serving.
Yeah, but
this is the way my trying to pay back or pay it forward here to the veterans that were serving. So
yeah, and it is indeed noble, because there are so many problems. I know I've been watching all these shows too, and you've seen what these people go through. You know, they average one suicide a day. You know, and it's like, no, not one suicide a day. I don't know how many there are, like 20 a day or something by people that are like veterans, former soldiers and troops. And you go, this is like so, what a waste of great talent, of great people, mm-hmm. of great souls.
That's right.
You know?
And that's one of the, that's also one of the topics we're going to be addressing on the show as it moves forward, is the veteran suicide rate. I think there were some stories out where they said that there was an average of one every 36 hours.
Right, yeah.
Which, you know, it's just mind-boggling. It's terrible. You know, it's really hard to accept that this is going on, but unfortunately it is, and we're going to try to address that as well with some experts.
Right.
On the program to see what could be done and how people can support their veterans and make sure that this doesn't continue to happen in the future.
Have you heard of the Weed for Warriors project?
Yes, I have.
That's a really cool project for getting vets access to cannabis, because they're often getting prescribed these really heavy, like, opioids or pain pills that they get addicted to.
Right. Yeah.
And that's, you know, it doesn't help with their depression or suicide. So,
yeah.
And the thing is like, if they're getting veteran benefits, they can't consume cannabis. They'll get their benefits taken away.
Oh, wow.
So, this project is a really cool project for getting veterans access to cannabis to treat their ailments and like PTSD and stuff.
Yeah. And I know it does work, you know, I mean, because I've seen people actually telling you
right.
know, I mean, this
well,
has
they,
changed
they're
my
so
life.
Quick to prescribe them, you know, what these harmful medications that
right.
are just not good.
Yeah, just terrible.
And and we don't do enough for our vets. I mean, they literally go to play. I mean, they go risk their lives to protect our country. And oftentimes, you know, they don't get the benefits that they need and the promises that, you know, that we have our government has provided, you know, like,
right.
So, I mean, it's really cool that you're doing something to at least provide a voice and a platform.
Yeah, yeah. You should actually go on the show and talk about that, you know, because I think it is a big deal because, you know, I mean, like you said, you don't want to get into all this medication, and I know they get hooked on all that stuff because, Walter, they go through a lot of trauma when you're out there.
There's enough mental health services for these people who oftentimes, I mean, aren't even aware of like what the impact I feel like they are going to have mentally from going to another country or just, you know, seeing death and destruction and die. You know, just the culture shock that comes along with that, let alone like, and you know, these are people who probably haven't ever experienced mental, you know, maybe they've never had to go through something like that. And for the rest of their lives, they're going to deal with this trauma.
Right.
Oh, absolutely, Rachel. And, you know, you think about the stress that we go through from day to day.
Right.
Just traveling around Southern California and doing our jobs and getting stuck in traffic. And these people are in life or death situations every hour of every day. Plus, they're also concerned about their families at home. You know, is the mortgage been paid or is someone ill and so on and so forth? And there's nothing they can do about it. Because they're in a different country.
Right.
So that's some of the things that I think really add to the PTSD and some of the other problems that they're having at this particular point. But we're going to have some experts on there to help explain that.
That's
and
really
let
cool.
us know what we can do to try and support the veterans.
It would be just really cool if the military, I don't know much about the military. I know my grandfather served in Vietnam and but I just, it would be great if these officers could get the support, you know, even beforehand, maybe if they went through some therapy or like some, you know, just extra support kind of prepping them for what to expect. And even while they're over there, having therapists on hand, because I mean, that would just, I feel like if they just had the mental support, you know,
But it's probably you're not even supposed to admit that you have like
and
mental
that's the thing.
Problems.
Well, that's the problem is we're emotional beings. We're human beings. We're emotional beings. It doesn't matter military or not. You put humans in these human situations and any person, doesn't matter how tough mentally they are, you're going to experience, you know, you're going to. So, I mean, and there's nothing wrong with emotions, and that's the word. And I think that is the military kind of puts this emphasis, like this is not this is a job. This is protection. You know, but I think, you know, there very much needs to be discussion on, we're real people, you know, we.
Right, right.
You know.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And you figure we have to have physicals and checkups, you know, once a year. They usually recommend, as you get older, they say more than once a year, twice a year. And for our physical well-being, but what's wrong with having a psychological checkup
100%.
For your psychological well-being?
And
you know?
Even if, like, soldiers are, good soldiers go through shit. I mean, that's the reality of it. And like, even if like a soldier were to even have a comfortable place where they could admit, yeah, today was a tough day, I need to, you know, where there isn't a stigma along with going to talk to someone or just getting that extra mental support, like you said, because they go through all these rigorous physical training and it's almost like, well, if you're a perfect physical specimen, we don't really care what goes on in your mind, you know what I mean? They just will take them.
Well, they create.
And then a lot of times, like, you'll hear those stories about those soldiers going rogue where they go and like shoot up a base, and it's because maybe if they had access to help, you know, or someone just sat him down and was like, yo, bro, like, you know, you need to talk to someone, that this would be prevented.
Give them the warning signs ahead of time. Listen, if you start feeling this way, please come and see somebody.
Right. Or if there was like education within the military community of like, here are the mental health signs of someone who's struggling, you know, like watch out for these signs. Yeah. And like, here's the appropriate way to, you know, address that. I mean, these people need support more than anything because they're risking their lives for us.
Not only that, but you know, Walter, you know, I'm thinking, you know, as a soldier, because I'm trying to figure out why is it that It's so hard to integrate these veterans back into society. And, you know, it's because I believe they, in a way, deconstruct you and build you back as a fighting machine, you know? And that's right. why, you know, the Rachel, they find there's no room for emotion when right. it's about life or death. But and that's what happens. So they have to suppress that. Then they come home. They're like, wait a minute, I'm a fighting machine, but I don't need all these skills here
right.
In society, in civil society.
I just feel like there might be a better, I mean, because it is very much about emotion. There, you see soldiers helping children, yeah. for, you know, in the countries that they're fighting for who are just children. Doesn't matter what side they're on. You know, they could be on the enemy side,
like
but this
said,
is a child.
Still human
you know?
Beings, you know.
So I just feel like, you know, that I, even not even in just our military, but even in our schools, like mental illness is just such a topic that is so taboo that gets left, you know, unattended. And I feel like in our schools and our military, like there needs to be a support system for
yeah.
people.
Right.
Yeah.
We need to be exploring and helping as opposed to, you know, keeping it on that taboo and things where, you know, nobody talks about it.
Or like the shaming or the shaming of it. Like there's like a shame that comes along with being emotional or, you
yeah,
know, like
yeah,
they're that's
yeah, you've been considered weak or whatever.
Right.
You
and
know,
and I
yeah.
think that that's just such a misconception because some of the strongest people in this world are some of the most emotional because they can connect.
That's
and they,
right.
So.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, Walter, the show is going to be Walt's Focus on Veterans. You can listen to it every Thursday at noon on Channel 1 right here on LA Talk Radio and starting in 2 days. So, Walter, thank you so much for coming on our show. So people can find you, I guess, by listening to you, and then you can give them maybe information and stuff. You definitely have to get on social media if you're not already. So we'll
right. Have, I so far I just have email because I'm kind of a dinosaur.
Okay.
But I'm going to my son's trying to get me into the 20th century here, so.
Awesome.
We're working on that.
Sounds good. But your address will be on the website, and people can contact
yep.
you that way. All right, Walt. Well, thanks again. Have a safe trip home. I hope it's a quicker one. And we'll talk to you in a couple days.
Rachel and Sam, thank you both very much. And we'll talk to you in a couple of days here, and I appreciate the opportunity.
Absolutely.
You
thank
care.
You for coming
awesome.
On the show. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
That was a good combo.
Yeah, yeah. No,
that's
absolutely.
Really cool.
I like to talk about veterans because they really deserve.
It's just a shame because I feel like, you know, like even just the shit we promised them, you know,
yeah.
and they wait years for these benefits to come through.
Right.
And
you know,
and
I mean,
sometimes often you'll look like the military is a last resort for some people. You know what I
yeah,
mean? Like they,
right.
they just. They don't know. They don't have anything else. So they're like, I'll join the military.
Right. And
you
get
know?
Education and
right.
stuff. Yeah.
So you'll find a lot of like poor people, minorities, just, you know, people who that's their only option.
Right.
You know, that's
right.
their only way out is to is to go and risk their lives. And
right.
there needs to be more support for
yeah.
anyone who joins
yeah.
the military. Anyone who's
I
willing
agree.
To
I
risk
agree.
Their life. You know, we got to support them. And it is so sad to see, like, we the mental just overall in this country, how we view mental health needs to change. There needs to be a conversation because shootings and shit like that is just going to keep happening.
Yeah.
And there has to be something done. There has to be a conversation started. And, you know, I struggle with depression my whole life. I'll never, you know, I'll be the first one if anyone ever asks. Like, that's something that I will talk about because
right.
that's something that I think needs to be talked about. It's not
exactly.
We talk about, if only we talked about mental health as much as we talked about sex. You know
uh-huh.
what I mean? Maybe we will be having better sex and better
yeah,
mental
but
health
it's,
days.
It's definitely more out there, more becoming more mainstream than it was. So.
Well, I think every, you know, there's that, everyone's like, well, I'm glad to know that everyone's crazy. Everyone has their shit.
Yeah.
And we're emotional beings. And, you know, we all have mental health. You know?
Right.
We have physical health, we have mental health. So I just think that there has to be more done in this country to support people.
Yeah. Okay, well, that's an upbeat way, I think, to wrap the show. So we thank you to Walt Nard for calling in. Please listen to the show in a couple of days. Also in a couple of days, listen to Rachel's show,
Thank you, the Bud.
And actually, maybe you should have called them the Buds, no? Because you guys are both the Buds.
It's the Bud.
The Bud. Okay. The Bud it is.
That's what you call weed. It's Bud.
No, I know, but, you know, okay.
We'll see. There might be, you know, we'll see what happens in the future with the Bud.
I love Buds.
Like to
how did we grow up to appreciate the plant so much that we enjoy just looking at the Buds, you
right?
know? I mean, I go crazy looking at it. It looks like, you know, you look at those big jars or big bags, you go, oh my God.
You
man,
should see what I brought
today. I can just swim in this.
I brought us a special after radio puff. But I have some in the jar that I want to show you. That's really pretty.
Sounds good. Looking forward to that. All right, everybody. Thank you all for listening. As always, love to have you here. We continue tomorrow with great guests, great everything. Have a great day. Rachel, thanks as always. And we'll see you all tomorrow.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Rachel, exclusively on LA Talk Radio.